Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, Monocle 24's executive producer, Tom Edwards, tells us the story of one of London's Victorian wonders, Alexandra Palace. Opened in 1875, it's long served as a centre for recreation and entertainment in North London, despite its tumultuous past. Here's Tom.
What's your earliest memory? Not a half-remembered flash of a place recalled in washed-out cine style, no freeze frame from the hazy dawn of consciousness, nor a faint image of a face, a cipher reanimated from faded photographs. I'm talking about a bona fide, check the calendar, is it really that long, day in the life. I know the date and place of mine. London, July 10th, 1980. I know this because the vision seared into my memory bank is that of Alexandra Palace ablaze.
A mystery fire which began at the organ end of the Great Hall on July the 10th, 1980, spread rapidly through the roof and engulfed the whole building.
I grew up in Muswell Hill. My mum took me and my sister to a nearby vantage point to watch the famous building engulfed. I can recall little else of the day, but a vivid sense of smoke and flames and a certain sadness. The palace first opened more than a century earlier, on Queen Victoria's birthday, a typical piece of civil and social engineering designed for the people and their recreational edification. Ali Pali survived just a fortnight before it was first gutted by fire. In typical Victorian fashion, though, it was redesigned, rebuilt, and reopened within 2 years. The 1980 blaze took rather longer to recover from, but restored it eventually was. Even by that point, though, the palace stood for something more than bricks and mortar, its rich history a mirror to and a microcosm of London. It had been a literal beacon as the broadcast source for the BBC's first public television service, not only the nation, but the world's first.
This coaxial cable is destined to carry television from the heart of London up to the transmitter. Cable is hauled through ducts at Alexandra Palace and greased to make it slide more easily down the manholes and through the pipes which carry it. Length by length, it is pulled through.
Alexandra Palace used to host horse racing too. In the parkland beneath the building, you can still walk part of the circuit, its shape giving it the moniker the frying pan. Later, in the early 90s, I used to run in cross-country races there, having to hair up the vertiginous inclines to what is one of London's highest points, don't forget, rendered the views somewhat bittersweet. Another childhood memory, the repurposing of estate agents' for sale boards as one-man sleds to tackle the hill after a rare and deep spring snowfall. I remember, too, ungainly tweenage trips to the ice skating rink, to the pitch and putt course, or a little later, basking in the summer sunshine to watch the cricket still played on the pitch in the middle of that frying pan I mentioned earlier. If cricket doesn't deliver the requisite cultural sustenance, you can attend, later this year, the reopening of the palace's huge theatre, unused, at least for its original purpose, for more than 80 years. Or there's always the Masters Snooker Tournament, or the World Darts. Pub pursuits have found their home in the palace halls too. It wasn't just darts flying a century or so ago. Some rather more painful barbs were involved, one imagines, when for several years during World War I, the palace was deployed as an internment centre for Germans and Austrians.
One of the refugee reception centres in London is Alexandra Palace, once the home of the BBC television studios. Now it is filled with the quietly tragic victims of Nazi oppression.
Like I said, Ali Pali has long held up a mirror to all the city's faces, good, bad, and ugly. When I look out over London from this unique vantage point, I wish that my mum was still around so we could compare notes on that fateful July day all those years ago. But I take solace from the fact that I'll be able to bring my own boys up there to see the sights, watch London's shifting skyline, maybe to hit the weekend food trucks. There remains something powerful about the Victorian narrative of shared recreation, of entertainment and leisure, of a place to pursue those ends together. It's good for the city, for its people, for its soul. Alexandra Palace remains that to me, a building that's risen and fallen, waxed and waned, but stayed a beacon. I hope it shines on.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Tom Edwards for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.